Hello everyone, I want to do a quick video real quick, podcast, and by the way, happy Easter to those of you listening today. I'm not going to do, per se, a reaction video. I mean, I am, but I'm not at the same time, and what I mean by that is, if you go, you can also find this at whitehouse.gov to search Proclamation of Gender Visibility Day. But but there's other videos. Mike Signorelli did one. Isaiah Saldivar did one. Richard Lorenzo Jr. did one. Jeremiah Johnson did one. A lot of other people that I follow have done response videos about this subject. But I just want to give you simply what the Lord, what I feel like the Lord is saying concerning the leadership of this nation. Things that I feel like, and I've sought the Lord and said, you know, basically, can you confirm or deny, you know, if this, what I'm feeling is correct? And he said, basically, yeah. So, you know, just to kind of paraphrase what's been said and everything, but I want to say a prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you, first of all, I come against any censorship ahead of time. As a king and priest in the kingdom of God, by the authority vested in me by the courts of heaven, by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, the resurrected Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father now and makes intercession for us, I declare that this video will not be taken down, and if it is, then by the authority of the courts of heaven, all platforms who do take it down or who censor the sharing of it will be held in contempt of court, and there will be consequences. I'm not saying this in pride, but I'm using the authority that I've been given to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, excuse me, believing that we can, you know, just believing in God that we can do this. But I ask right now, Lord, that you would give me the ability to preach the word of God in the way that you've given it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's turn there. And I'm using the Bible app. Okay. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Well, I feel to stop right there. This teaching is not so much addressed to the people as it is to the leadership. Well, it's addressed to both, but let me just tell you this, what I sense the Lord saying. He's been saying this for a while. The Lord, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, you know, God said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. other people who were giving the word of the Lord as they felt like the Lord was telling them, or responding to what's going on today, they called Christians to pray for President Biden. But the Lord said to me just recently, and folks, I'm all for praying for our leadership, for salvation. And in fact, at first I felt the Lord was telling me, yeah, we need to pray for Biden. We need to pray, you know, intercede for him. But now, the Lord has changed his tune as he was speaking just recently, and he said, I've had enough. And he said, his door to repentance has closed. Verse 3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. This is the key verse. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Okay, so verse 7 was the key verse. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And now let's turn. Actually, I want to read to you something. This is kind of a change in what is being done here. So today, I'm just going to go back here, find out what day. This is called Perform Your Samika, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's day 329. We return one last time, said the teacher, to the Samika. Tell me what it was. That's what the student said. The placing of sin on the sacrifice by laying hands on its head and confessing your sins over it. That which the priests of Israel performed on Messiah before they delivered him to his death. Oh, that's what the, okay. Student, teacher says, that's correct. But it wasn't only the priests who performed the Samika, it was performed by whoever needed to be forgiven of their sins. In order to offer up a sin offering, you had to perform the Samika over it. You had to touch it with your hands and confess your sins over it. And doing so, you became one with the sacrifice. Only with that original identification could the sacrifice die for your sins. Now, if we've all sinned, the Messiah is the offering for our sin. What must there also be? The Samika? Yes, the one who needs their sins to be forgiven must perform the Samika. So how does one perform it? The same way it was performed in ancient times. You must touch the sacrifice and become one with it. But how? I asked. The sacrifice of Messiah took place ages ago. But remember, it is the one sacrifice that transcends time, that touches all time, past, present, and future. So the time doesn't matter. The Samika can still be performed. You reach out your hands across time and space to touch Messiah on the cross. You confess your sins upon him. You become one with him there, just as he was one with you in his sacrifice. That's when it's complete, when the two moments are joined together. That's when your sins are forgiven and washed away. It sounds like salvation. It is, said the teacher. How do you become saved? You confess your sins, you bring them to the sacrifice, and you become one with the sacrifice, as the sacrifice has become one with you on the altar. What is that? It's the Samika. The act of salvation is the act of the Samika. You're performing a cosmic Samika across time and space. Perform your Samika. And not only once, touch the head of the sacrifice. Place your sins upon him, your burdens, your fears, your shame, your cares. Join every part of your life to the sacrifice, and the sacrifice to every part of your life. Let the two moments and the two lives be lived as one. And here's the mission. Perform the sacred Samika. Place your hands on his head. Lay your life upon his life. Release what must be released and be released. Okay. So we're going to... So that's the call today. Now, Father, as you want this to be taught, I ask, Lord, that you would give me the wording. Lord, we come to the altar of the cross. As I have learned from your servant, Dr. Francis Miles, Lord, that the cross is the highest altar in the world. And in fact, we bring America to this altar. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord did tell me, though, that there are others in this administration whose time of repentance has not come to an end. That's what I feel the Lord saying. So I want us to turn to the book of Jonah. Actually, let's turn to Acts 13 first. I'm just stepping out in what I feel like the Lord. Oh, and Father, I thank you for a signet ring anointing, Father, on this broadcast. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think this is the one. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was also, who was called Niger, N-I-G-E-R, Lucius of Cyrene, Menaean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Paul on Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. They sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down. Hold on, actually, let me see here. Maybe it's Acts 12. I want to make sure I'm reading the... Oops. Okay, so it was actually in Acts chapter 12. Let's turn there. This, in a way, reminds me of today, verse 1 of chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Actually, let's skip on down. And actually, I think, never mind, I mean, they're similar, but they're not the same, because there's the persecution that the early church felt was... imprisonment, physical and stuff like that. But anyway, verse 20, and these are actually the key verses. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Okay, that was Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 24. Now I want you to hear me, both followers as well as the algorithm on YouTube and everywhere else, you know, on the podcasts and things like that. My purpose here today, I was sent on assignment from God. And this word is purely from the court of heaven. This is something I try not to let my personal doctrine or belief get in the way of the word of the Lord. I try not to let anything stand. I just say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And as best as I can, as I am called to do in the position in the spirit realm in the courts of heaven, I try to make, to declare impartial judgments today, righteous judgments. I try to declare only the judgments of the Lord and not have a filter through them. Many of you that follow this ministry know that we are conservative. We are independent, but even that, this battle is not political. It's spiritual. And you know, and so my first and foremost, my call is to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. That's my call. And to see to it that Jesus gets everything he died for, whether it be for individuals or for nations. And God has called me to steward, and called really all Christians, I mean, to steward an America as their nation, that are here in America. If you're in Africa, God has placed you there as a steward, as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And you can just refer to the sermon, Speaking the Truth, or Speak the Truth in Love, for more on that. But now let's turn So, let me just say this. I even hear the Lord saying it again. I asked the Lord this morning, what do you say about this? And concerning Biden, because he's taken this too far, he said, the worms eat you. The same death that Herod met in the days of the book of Acts, he will also meet. As for the assertion, well, he's just a puppet. I just asked the Lord about that, and he said, but he's a willful one. Now, Father, as I feel led to pray, Lord, I ask that the angels of the Lord would go out now and execute the verdicts of the courts of heaven thus far mentioned in Jesus' name. In particular, the seraphim who deal with pride. The Lord says, there are many others whose time of repentance has come to an end. And the Lord says, I am sending my seraphim out to deal with pride, both in the church and in this nation. And there will be many who will meet the fate of Herod in this hour, says the Spirit of, or says the Lord of hosts. There are others, the Lord says, whose door is close to closing, talking about the door of repentance. And so today, this title is called America's Call to Repent. And this is an Easter message somewhat. It's an Easter message, as we just discussed, the Samhita that Jonathan Cahn was writing about on day 329, and now come to discover that he also talked about it on other days, is we're gonna look at this. But you lay your hands on the sacrifice, the burnt offering that you're about to make, and you confess your sins on that sacrifice. So, we'll be right back. Welcome back. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Verse 21. It says, Aaron shall lay his hands on the head of the live goat, confessing over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. And you can continue reading that full chapter. Now let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's verse 9. Verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And you can also read that full chapter, 1 John 1. Galatians 2:20. All right, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You can read that full chapter. It talks about pride and things like that. And then Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Today, the Lord is inviting America, not just individuals. He's inviting us as a nation to partake of this sacrifice. Good Friday was the day of the crucifixion. Today is the day of the resurrection. So I'm inviting us. And actually, you can read the story of Jonah by yourself. I have to get ready for church in a minute. It starts at 10:30. We're going to Covenant Fellowship Church in Oklahoma City. You can find it on Facebook and YouTube. But anyway, read Jonah today. It starts out where God tells him to go to Nineveh. And he finds a ship that goes to Tarshish and tries to run from the calling of God. He gets thrown overboard by the sailors, and I'm just paraphrasing, or summarizing. And winds up getting swallowed by a fish. God sends a fish, a great fish. He's in there for 3 days and 3 nights. And after a prayer that he prays, he is spit up on the shore by the whale or the fish. God tells him again, go to Nineveh. He goes and he preaches and he says, 40 days and judgment will happen. After they hear that word, the king, from the king all the way down to the animals, fasted. The king proclaimed a fast. He took off his kingly robes and put on sackcloth and fasted. He thought, well, perhaps the Lord will turn around this judgment. That's what God is inviting us to do today. I hear the Lord even now saying, I am not judging the nation as a whole, but I am judging the leadership of this nation for what has been done to my holy day. Celebrating the resurrection, paraphrasing, but basically he's saying that for what the leadership has done concerning Easter is abominable to him. And it is the final straw. I hear the Lord saying, my people, read the book of the prophet Haggai. I want my house of prayer to be for all nations to be built. Beloved, I do not want a repeat of the nation of Israel, says the Lord. In other words, there was yet another judgment later on as a result of the continued rebellion, and also, you know, the people of God didn't build the house. And we here have not built our house, or built the house that he wanted. We've built our own ministries. Father, I just ask that you would confirm your word. Okay, there's nothing else. It's come full circle. So I feel that this week I'm going to be screen recording that the sermon on When Your Mind Attacks You that was preached a few weeks ago by Pastor Mickey. The Lord is echoing now the words of Mike Signorelli that he said in his broadcast. He said, when the Lord says, when you bring me back into this nation, I will deal with a mental health crisis. For it is only through my son and the sacrifice that he made that the minds of men be set free, says the Lord. I am inviting my church into my court, says the Lord. Plead your case before me. Humble yourselves, pray, and seek my face during this time. And then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and will heal your land, says the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you for confirming your word, Lord. I just pray for every person that is stirring right now. There may even be government leaders that are listening to this. Maybe not now, but maybe in the future, I don't know. But Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I even hear you saying that you're going to do the altar call, so I just ask that you would move on the hearts of people, give them the words to pray, Lord. And one thing I want to say, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or rededicate your life to Christ, you need to count the cost. The Bible says if you love mother or father more than me, you are not worthy, you are not worthy of me. So, then again, I hear the Lord saying that he's even taken care of that. So, Lord, I thank you. They're going to count the cost. And they're going to hear the word of God today. And there will be a mighty harvest of souls, not only on this podcast or broadcast, but all who preach the gospel unadulterated. I thank you that it will not be said in this nation, Ichabod, glory departed, but it will say, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. It will say, look what the Lord has done. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all very much for listening to this podcast, and I want to bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions, you can comment below. Like, comment, share, subscribe, rate the show, hit the notification bell. Also, you can go to www.kingdomadvance.family.blog, KINGDOMADVANCE.family.blog. And go to the About Us, go to the primary menu, and then hit About Us. And other than the phone number, that will have all the places that you need to be able to contact us. God bless and happy Easter. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.